Good morning, church. Happy New Year to you all from Doreen and me. It's good to be back amongst you, back with you this morning. I want to share some thoughts with you that have been working into my thinking during the Christmas New Year period. And I was with Neil, we were with Neil and Elaine on Monday in the Metro Center in Costa, where else? We were just chatting together, and it just seemed to fit in that I might come and share this message with you this morning. So it's still really a messaging process. It's still some things that are stirring in my heart, stirring in my mind in terms of the heart of God for us in this coming year. And I've given it the title, The God of New Things, because I was reading, I do a lot of reading, and I was reading a book somewhere just before Christmas, and he was talking about a verse from Isaiah 43 that we'll turn to in a moment, about God being the God of new things. God is saying, I'm going to do something new, new things. And you know how you sometimes get that moment when you think, you see something very familiar from a slightly different point of view, from a slightly different perspective. And I saw that, I've often thought of that, God's making a promise that he's going to take the Jews out of exile and he's going to do a new thing for them. But suddenly it seemed to me, what this was really saying was that God is the God who is always doing new things. That's in his nature to do new things. He's not a God who stands still. He's not, in that sense, a God who stays the same. Now, I know there's some theologians around who want me just to qualify that and say, well, of course, in his character and being, God is unchangeable, stays the same. But in God's relationship with his people, he's always doing something new. And I thought, that I like that. I like that sort of idea of a God who's always a step ahead of me. A God who's always doing something new, because that's in his very nature to do that. And so I want to share a little bit along those lines with you this morning. If you've got your Bibles, or even if not, you can just listen. Chapter 43 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, the context of these words is God speaking through Isaiah to the people of Israel when they are in exile in Babylon. And he's speaking to them about the day when he's going to move. He's going to change things. He's going to do something new to break their captivity and bring them out of exile to be his people once again. So just read a few verses from chapter 43 of Isaiah, from verse 16. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out, like a wick. He's looking back to the time when he brought his people Israel out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and destroyed the army of the Egyptians. Remember the story in Exodus? That's how the people were born. And he says, that's what I've done for you in the past. But God doesn't live in the past. And he doesn't want us to live in the past. And that's why he goes on. Forget the former things. Even the great things I've done for you in the past, we need to move beyond those. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You see, God speaking through Isaiah a long time before these things actually began to happen, but he wants to sow something into the hearts and minds of his people that when it's when their experience, when their circumstances are a wasteland and a wilderness, he is still at work. Actually, we were singing about that just a few minutes ago, weren't we? Thanks, Jenny, for taking our focus there. Even when things don't come together, when things don't feel good, circumstances, God is still at work. And he wanted his people to know that. They were exiles. They were in captivity. They were like slaves. They were in Babylon, away from their own country and their homes and everything. But he says, listen, don't think too much about the past. Let that go. Let it go. I am doing a new thing. Now, it springs up. It's beginning to happen. Do you not perceive it? And I suddenly realized, when I looked at that again, and I've read it, you know, hundreds of times, how important that question is. Do you not see it? It's almost like God is saying, I'm going to do something, but keep your eyes open. Are you alert? Are you ready? Are you expectant? Are you looking for it? Like the parable that Jesus told of the pearl merchant sifting through, because he was looking for the best pearl, looking for something special. Are our eyes open? Are our hearts ready? Are our minds alert? Are we ready for God to do something new? I said, yeah, that's important, isn't it? I can just say, oh, thank you, God, you're going to do a new thing. And he says, but are you looking for it? Do you see it? Are you ready for it? Are you ready to embrace it? Even though you don't quite know what it might look like or what it might be or how it might work, are you looking? Like the pearl merchant, looking, looking, looking. I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? God is active. God is working. God is preparing new things. But are we alert? Are we expectant? Are we seeing those new things in faith? When circumstances look like wilderness and wasteland, can we see in faith the path being cleared, the streams beginning to flow? Because God is at work. God is constantly doing new things. And he's doing that because he has in his mind, in his heart, in his plan, in his purpose, the greatest new thing of all. And a few chapters later, Isaiah sees that ultimate new thing, the greatest new thing of all. In chapter 65, verse 17, he says, God says through Isaiah, see, I will create new heaven and a new earth. Wow. That's ultimate. The ultimate new thing that God is going to do. He's going to recreate, create anew the heavens and the earth and put right everything that is wrong and corrupt and broken and chaotic and painful and hurting. He's going to put it all right. That's the new thing he's ultimately going to do. And in case we forget or haven't read Isaiah, in Revelation 21, then John tells us, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So here's the question for us. If that's God's ultimate new thing, a new heaven and a new earth, where everything's put right, where everything is made new, where all injustice and oppression, all brokenness, all pain, all hurt is dealt with and put right, and everything is just and fair and whole and good. Do you think the new things he's doing now are like little examples of that final new thing? So that the new things that God is saying, I'm going to do a new thing. He's the God of new things. Those new things are like little examples of that ultimate new thing. Interesting that the daughters have chosen that chapter in Micah, those verses in Micah, about seeking what is just and what is true and what is right. You know, because that's what God is after. so that our lives, individually and corporately, as a church and as churches together, begin to reflect that ultimate new thing that God is planning, a new heavens and a new earth through the redemptive love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it's going to happen. And for you and I to know that we're going to be a part of that, there's only one way. And that way is by committing our lives to Jesus. And when we do commit our lives to Jesus, when we do begin to walk the walk of faith and relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, when we do receive Him as our Savior, and we know that all the rubbish is cleansed out of our lives, then we begin to walk towards that ultimate goal with Jesus, the new heavens and the new earth. I don't know about you, but I follow the news because I think it's important to kind of know what's going on in the world. But man, is it depressing at times? And you see the spiritual wilderness. You see the wasteland, particularly in spiritual terms of Europe and our Western world. And we can get a bit downcast about that. We keep reading statistics, the church is less and less people are going to church and all that sort of stuff. Fact is, often the problem is we don't look far enough. If we want to understand the good, the new things that God is doing, we need to look further afield. It may look a bit like a wasteland and a wilderness right now where we are, but you know, God is doing some absolutely fantastic things, particularly in Muslim lands. Tens of thousands of Iranians are turning to Jesus. Maybe even more than tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands. And in the midst of all that stuff that we've been looking at and watching and all the pundits talking, you know, God is at work. God is at work. Tony Pennell put me onto a film which is on YouTube called Sheep Among Wolves. If you've got a couple of hours, because it's a full-length film, it really is worth looking at. Because, you know, it is just a picture of a new thing that God is doing in Muslim lands and Muslim cultures. And not only there, but tens of thousands of Muslims are right now acknowledging Jesus as their Lord and Redeemer. We need our eyes opened. We need our horizons expanded. It might not look that God is terribly too busy right here, right? Actually, He is. But we can see the big new things that God is doing when we lift up our eyes and we look out. In Muslim contexts, our brothers and sisters who are turning to Jesus face direct persecution, maybe rejection from their families, oppression, imprisonment, threats of death, and even death itself. We don't face that, perhaps, in our context. But we are called into a real battle, a battle against apathy, against indifference, a battle against immorality, and a battle against what we call secularism. And it's not the place here this morning to try and expand that. But advert number one coming up. We start on Tuesday evening a new series of Bible focus evenings over the next 4 months. I've called it Colliding with Culture. And we're going to have a look through the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians in the first century AD and have a look at the world they lived in and compare it with the world we live in and see how Paul equips them and encourages them to face that collision with the culture around them. And that's what we're called to. We're called to that colliding with the culture, to live differently. In a couple of series, didn't we, of teaching towards the end of last year, which said, living distinctly, living different, being different. Because that's what Jesus has called us to be and to do as His disciples. So if you can make it on a Tuesday evening, do come and join us in learning through that. One aspect of the new thing that the Lord Jesus is preparing for us and for us to see, and I can't say a lot more about it this morning, but you know, I'm hearing that God is at work in our nation. There are some quite remarkable things happening. The kingdom of God is beginning to say, we're here. We're here. We ain't dead yet. In fact, we ain't going to die at all. Read about dying churches and one thing and another. Listen, fact is, if you die, what happens next? You rise again. The church in the East, which used to be 1,500 years ago, the church in the East was a vibrant, mission-minded church. It carried the gospel to India and China 1,500 years and more ago. It's rising again. It's rising again. And the church is rising, rising up, empowered by the Spirit in all kinds of ways across our land. And I believe, and that's why I wanted to share this message this morning, I believe this is the word of God to us. I am the God of new things. And we're going to see that. Are you ready to look out? Are you got your eyes open? Get your hearts ready for the new things that God is going to do among us. But one aspect is that. One aspect of what the Lord Jesus is preparing for us and for us to see is the call to rally to the standard, the banner, the flag, if you like, of the kingdom. I just got, and I'll explain a bit more when I speak in 2 weeks' time, we start a new series. Just felt that it's like Jesus is saying, lift up your heads. I want you to lift up your heads. I want you to lift up your eyes. I want you to see my banner, my standard, my flag. I want you to set it up. I want you to pursue it, to rally to the flag, to the call to renew our determination to make God's kingdom, the rule and reign of Jesus in the heavenlies, a reality here on earth. Come on! Come on! Come on! Let's do it. Jesus said to his disciples, seek first the kingdom of God. Make that kingdom your priority, your focus, your aim. Determine. Go out there. Find it. Live it. Work it. Come on! Because that's what he's calling us to. The new things that God is doing. And that's why in 2 weeks' time, we're going to start a new series called Raise a Standard. And I'm hoping and praying that that will help us to understand the warfare in which we are engaged and the progress of God's kingdom, God's rescue plan for his creation, that progress towards that ultimate new thing of the new heavens and the new earth. When the Lord Jesus launched his campaign on the earth, which is what Christmas is a bit all about, when Jesus was born and then he grew up, and there came a point where John the Baptist said, look, there he is, the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sins of the world. The campaign had begun because it was through the sacrificial death and the redeeming love of Jesus that we were going to start to march towards that ultimate new thing of the new heavens and the new earth. It's taken a little while and may take a couple more millennia. Who knows? Fact is, we're called in the here and the now to march towards that new heaven and that new earth and show it to the people around us in any way and every way that we can. And Jesus proclaimed, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. Here I am. I'm it. I'm the kingdom. Rally to me. Follow me. Follow my standard. Follow my banner. Follow my flag. See, the ultimate aim of God is to renew mankind, and the whole of creation began there by the banks of the River Jordan. when Jesus, having been baptized and having been tested in the wilderness, Jesus stands and he looks around. He sees these fishermen, James and John, Peter and Andrew. He says, follow me. Follow me. Come and be part of my campaign. Come and get behind my standard. The goal of the kingdom is to transform society and culture through the witness of transformed people. We've got to be transformed ourselves first through the love of Jesus, by giving our lives to him, by letting him into our lives, into our hearts, into our very beings to cleanse us from our sin through his sacrifice on the cross. And then to follow him towards that aim of transforming everything for him through transformed people as his witnesses. You see, I suppose one of the issues for us, not just for us, but for the church in our generation, is that we've become very dependent on church-generated programs and projects. And they have their place, of course they do. All kinds of things. But the reality is that the kingdom is going to advance not primarily through church-focused projects and programs. The kingdom is going to advance through individual believers committed in everyday life to the values of the kingdom of God. For you and I, going out, doing about our life, doing about our business, at work, at home, wherever we are, in a way that shows the values of the kingdom of God. Social justice, compassion, moral purity, disciplined and sacrificial living. Why does Jesus call us to live like that? Because that's what the kingdom is about. That's what the whole of creation is one day going to be restored to. And the challenge to us is to live that out now. Follow me is not an invitation to a picnic, but it is a summons to take part in a revolution. A summons to pursue God's new thing, the transformation of all things. See, I'm doing a new thing. Can you see it? Can you see it? Follow me. Follow me in the revolution that's at hand. I love the music of a group called Iona. Kind of Celtic style of music, and one of their albums is called Another Realm, and it's a kind of prophetic album about the plans and purposes of God. And one of the songs pictures from Revelation 18, Jesus, the Word of God, the Lord of Lords, on a white horse with his armies of saints behind him on their white horses coming to bring about the final battle and destroy the works of Satan and bring in the new heaven and the new earth. And the song is called The White Horse. And part of it says this, a refrain that goes through it. Don't look back. Don't look down. Don't look back. Keep your eyes on the standard. See his glory. See his glory. See his glory. The glory of the King, the glory of the King, Jesus. Don't look back. Don't look down. Don't look back. Keep your eyes on the standard. I'm going to pray that God will help us to do just that. Before I do, I'm going to ask Holly to come and share a word that she shared with me just before. The beginning of the gathering, and I feel it just finishes things off with something that God's put into her heart.
Thank you. So I asked God what he was doing this morning at Hexham Community Church. And he said, I'm lifting weary, defeated heads that they might see my eyes of love, my encouragement, and my hope. I am giving out hope this morning. I am the God of all hope. There is no situation I see that is ever without hope. I am re-establishing hope in your hearts. And when I was praying about it, I felt like, I wasn't sure if it was for this morning or for me or for what. And then I realized that what Tony was talking about this morning was about new things, and it made sense because actually one of the things that gets in the way of us getting excited about what God's doing and getting excited about hope and expectation and those things is that actually we feel discouraged, we feel down, we look around our circumstances and we go, but look. And I felt like one of the things God wanted to do this morning was to say to you, I want you to give me your discouragement. I want you to give me all the places where when you look back, you're discouraged, you're disappointed. Give me your disappointment from the past. All the places where you have hoped and then you've been disappointed. And where you no longer have courage to hope. And God wants to take that disappointment. And when we were singing in that song this morning about God is healing hearts in here this morning, and what he wants to do is heal your heart. So if you feel like you're struggling with disappointment this morning, I feel like God wants to take your disappointment and give you hope. And maybe that's something you could come and get prayer for. I don't know if we want to pray for it all together. I don't know what you want to do.
What do I want to do? I'll tell you when. I'll tell you what I want to do. Jenny and the musicians could come back. That's one thing I'd like to do. If you've got a song to, maybe the Come On song. would do the trick, wouldn't it? You know, when God speaks, it's great that it's confirmed by others, that seed already in Holly's heart. Why? Because God wants us to lift up our eyes, lift up our heads, lift up our eyes this morning, not to look back, not to look down, but to look for his banner of love, and to follow him, not to a picnic, but to say, yes, let's get on with the job. Let's get on with the call, the revolution, to bring new things, God's new things. Let's pray, and then we'll sing. Say one more thing while I pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God of new things. You're not a God who stands still. You're not a God who's satisfied with the present moment, a God who's satisfied to have done incredible miracles in the past, to have done great things yesterday. You're a God of today and a God of tomorrow. You're a God who's constantly doing and desiring to do new things. But Lord, you've asked us this morning, you've challenged us, do we see it? Are we ready to see it? Are we ready to embrace the new things that are in your heart to do? And I want to pray for my brothers and sisters this morning, dear Father, in Jesus' name, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, they'll be able to let go of the past, let go of the disappointments, and look forward with a sense of hope, anticipation, and joy to the new things that you are going to do in our lives individually, in our lives as a church here in Hexham, and out into the area around, and in your church, in the UK, in the nations, and across the world, Lord. You're doing new things. Do some here, we pray. New things among us, and help us to see them and grab hold of them as you guide us and as you help us. In Jesus' name, amen.